I'm Brick. I was dead last week.
I'm Chani. I like the place between your head and your body.
I like your hair. It looks like wet popcorn.
Thank you.
Would you like to see the smile that I use when I pose for photographs?
Yes, please. Do you want to see the face I make when I see a snake made out of candy?
Yes. That's good.
What's your favorite time of day?
Now. What's your favorite time of day?
A minute ago.
TBTL!
Their religious practice of growing natural long hair was misunderstood as somehow being threatening.
You're cute, but selfish and narcissistic to the point of near delusion.
Don't bully me, all right? I can't take it. I was cyberbullied within an inch of my life last night.
If you need a kiss so bad, why don't you kiss a potato like the rest of us?
Don't you know your directions? It's real easy. West, right, backwards, yonder.
You didn't even see east.
That's because the earth face east, dumbass.
Wait a minute. I'm a reasonable guy, but I've just experienced some very unreasonable things.
Well, that's the only way to get through unreasonable times. Unreasonable times like a Thursday afternoon edition of TBTL, the show that just might be too beautiful to live.
Okay, let's do it.
My name is Luke Burbank. I'm your host, coming to you once again from New York, Jersey.
New York City!
Where it was quite snowy and quite stormy yesterday when we did the show. And today it is blue skies and dry as a bone. And
hey, what happened?
Very quick, very rapid change in the weather around here. I guess those boots that I was so excited to be wearing, those boots that were made for talking about, I guess I got one night's use out of them, but that was still probably worth it. We got a fun show in store for you. It's episode 2592 in a collector's series.
Let the fun begin.
We'll talk about this story where one of these restaurant reservation services had a person go rogue and make a bunch of reservations in the name of the competing restaurant reservation service, a bunch of no-shows, just to try to throw some shade on them. We will talk about that. There's another update in the saga of why your Amazon robot might be laughing at you in the night. Got some more information on that. And today we're going to do a mini TBTL no-point conversion.
I mean, I figured he had to be in sport, but he wasn't in sport.
There have been some big changes in the Seattle sports landscape, even as I'm talking to you, even as I'm rapping at you. There are reports that Richard Sherman is leaving the team. Michael Bennett's already gone. Ichiro, the baseball player, he's coming back to Seattle. It's nice to have someone in sport who could actually be my father, like who is old enough to have possibly fathered me. That's a nice feeling for me as a 41-year-old man. Doesn't happen a lot. Is happening with Ichiro coming back, so we will talk about that. But per usual, we will safely firewall the sports conversation off at the end of the show. So those of you who are not in sport, you don't have to listen to it. You don't have to be bored. For those of you who are really into sport, it will probably be a delightful time, we think. Anyway, that's the plan. We are going to do all of that, of course, with this guy, the longest-running co-bro of the show. He bought a small perch dinner, but doesn't mean he thinks he's better than anyone else. He might have a hot air balloon. He's not quite sure. And he is as real as the streets.
I'm as real as the streets.
He's Andrew Walsh, and he joins us now from the Wallingford neighborhood, Seattle, Washington. For now. Hello, my dude.
Hey, wow. So this is how it happens, huh? I am your co-bro for now.
You're coming to us from Wallingford for now.
No, that is true. I might not be in Wallingford forever. This is something that Genevieve and I realized two nights ago when we got the email from our landlord saying that our rent is about to go up $200 a month. This is something I knew was going to happen because there was a bunch of construction on the apartment below us. And our landlords, as I've talked about them a lot on the show, they're very, very cheap. They let this, what could be a really cool property, really just kind of They just squander it, and they don't do any of the right repairs, and they don't like paying for things until things get so out of control that there's a major, you know, problem, which happened downstairs with a water leak. That was coming from my toilet and not the clean side of the toilet. Did we talk about that? Maybe we should.
More on that, by the way, in a moment. Had a little toilet clog here at the old Parker Meridian. Never a good time for the for anybody, to be honest with you, for the clogger or the unclogger.
Oh, no.
I would be the clogger. The guy, I presume it's a guy who had to come up. He was the unclogger, but I just called down and I said, peace. I was like, I'm going to leave $10 on the bathroom, countertop by the sink, and I will be in the train that is heading south in Manhattan as quickly as possible, so I don't have to be around while some guy unclogs the toilet.
But you did have to return. You weren't checking out and saying...
No.
Yeah, wow. So you did have to return to the scene of the crime.
And to be honest with you, and not to make this gross, but it wasn't like... There wasn't any spectacular event that preceded the toilet being clogged, if you know what I mean. It was just clogged for some reason, but it was still embarrassing. Anyway, back to your toilet problems, which are leading to a rent hike, which is leading to you... probably moving to Bellingham, which I think is going to be cool.
That makes a lot of sense. You know, Veeves and I haven't talked about Bellingham yet. We're thinking Port Townsend, if the commute to the UW isn't too bad for Veeves.
Like a podcasting town to me. I just don't know.
the only reason I kind of bring up the construction downstairs is, listen, landlords can raise rent. We've been here for 2 years now. They gave us several months warning. It doesn't kick in until June. So this is, you know, and I do think that, I'm a kind of a free market guy when it comes to this stuff. If we've been here for a couple of years now and they're going to raise the rent, can we afford it? If not, then we'll move someplace else. We're in a lucky place to say that, actually, because that's not true for a lot of people, because I actually think you do need rent control and stuff, because it's not exactly like selling the best toothbrush, which we all know is Quip, and just saying the market will figure everything out, because there are issues. It costs a lot of money to move and you can really screw over poor people. But we're not being necessarily victims here, but I am definitely feeling a strong like, okay, you're going to raise the rent $200 and we know that you're doing this to basically pay for the repair that you let go on too long downstairs, and now it's going to be on our backs. It's just like, it's not, and frankly, it's just not worth it. It's just this place we were finally, after 2 years without an increase, thinking, well, maybe it's about worth what we're paying, but now they're going to jack it up. So I am so highly motivated to move, more than I've maybe ever been in my life, or certainly since I've been living with Genevieve, because Genevieve always takes care of this stuff, right? She loves looking for apartments. She loves apartment hunting, and I'm always like, it'll be fine, whatever you do. But because of my kind of outward frustration with so many of the things that's wrong with this place where we've been living for 2 years. And, you know, I let Genevieve from Los Angeles, you know, totally take care of finding this place and then coming up here on a weekend and having to nail it down. Like, she did all of the hard work. And I was very unappreciative when I showed up in Seattle to this place. And I will always feel guilty about kind of my reaction to seeing this place when we first moved in. Just kind of like not... I wasn't thrilled about the place, and I wasn't trying to blame Genevieve.
Well, you love the place in L.A.
I love the place in L.A., yeah.
It was a shock to your system to go from a place that you were really excited about and kind of proud of to a place that you weren't as excited and proud of.
And that we had to pay a lot more for, or, you know, a chunk more for. So anyway, I got to say, you know, kind of me coming to Seattle on a rainy day and seeing this place for the first time and just kind of seeing all the deficits with it, I'm not saying that I was wrong about what the deficits were, but I also think that I was a very, very ungracious boyfriend, to not at least fake it or show more appreciation to Genevieve for finding the best place that she could. So now here we are. We found out 2 days ago that they're going to raise the rent. So like, we're like, boom, let's do it. And like immediately, like Genevieve just starts like finding all of these spaces. We're going out on our first apartment hunting adventures tonight, checking out some places. Might stay in Wallingford, looking at North Seattle. Who knows, man? Spin the wheel. Who knows where we'll end up?
The world is your oyster.
I'm very highly motivated to be helpful and engaged. Like, maybe guilt is a good motivating factor for me, because I dread moving so much, and especially this part of it. not even the actual physical moving as much, but like you and Genevieve love looking at like properties and real estate. Like I friggin' hate it usually.
You and I couldn't be more the opposite. Like the actual physical moving, I dread with the dread of the Sarlacc pit in Star Wars where you get digested for 1,000 years. And I know it's not like actually in Star Wars. I know that's in probably Return of the Jedi, but just go with me, people. Stop riding me. Sorry, I'm just doing some battle in my head.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, I love the process of looking for apartments and places to live. And like me and Camaro Kev are going to be going to Chelan this summer. And I was like, kind of looking for the place. I basically found the place where we're going to be staying, and everybody was like, oh, thanks for handling it. I was like, thanks for handling it. I love that stuff. I find it to be totally fun. Now, the moving part, I would much rather leave to somebody else. So we are different that way, my friend.
Yeah, now, we're not totally opposites, though, because it's not like I love and relish the idea of moving. But as far as a breaking up of labor is concerned, if Genevieve wants to take the lead on, you know, apartment hunting, finding the places online, setting up the appointments, I am happy to take the lead on making sure we have boxes, making sure that I am packing those boxes. I'm also a great spatial reasoner, and I don't go around saying I'm great at things often, but I think that I'm good at packing boxes, and I'm good at packing boxes into trucks. Also,
do you ever pack a box so tight that it disappears? Tetris style, because you've got to be careful of that.
There's always one box when you move, especially when you're moving from state to state, and if you're hiring a moving company, there's always one box at least that you just never find again. And we have, we know that, I think it was moving from Seattle to LA, we realized like there's this one, I think, dish, some piece of pottery that either Genevieve or I kind of glazed at one of those pottery glazing places that is missing. And we realized there's a whole box of stuff missing. And now whenever we can't find anything, like 4 years later, we just say, must have been in the missing box.
The box is now, the contents of it are like a container truck.
Yeah. Yeah, Genevieve.
Everything that's been attributed.
The other day, Genevieve was just, you know, kind of saying to me, you know, just looking at me earnestly and just saying, you know, what has happened to us? Like, where has all of our love gone? And I said, I don't know. Must be in the box.
Oh, we should mention that Genevieve's not leaving Wallingford.
No. She's staying here. She's the one who increased my rent. Did I not make that clear?
Yeah, that was, we kind of buried the lead on that one. we shouldn't even joke with the listeners. If either of us were to go through a breakup, those are the kinds of things that literally tens of people would be traumatized by that kind of news. What's the we started the show, and right before you were having some coughing trouble, and now it seems to have migrated through the line all the way here to New York, Jersey, where I'm having some trouble. But because of our setup, I can't really – I guess I actually can. Hold on. I just turned my microphone down like a real professional.
Oh, cough button.
What is the one thing that you would love to have in your new place? Like, and I don't mean like – you know, a ball pit that you can do BMX bike jumps into. I mean, like, realistically, what's, if you can pick one thing, because I could tell you what my one thing would be if I were looking for a new place. What do you think it'd be for you?
Probably like a, how do you even, I don't even know how to describe it. It's like a ball pit that you do like BMX tricks in. Like,
yeah,
I used to have one of those, right?
Full of foam chunks.
Yeah, so that's number one for me. I would say number two, I don't know if this is number one, but I will tell you the thing that I am most concerned about is noise. Because I have been so lucky here, like, we have three other people that we share either walls or ceilings or floors with. And it is very rare. It's like one night a week, one of my neighbors likes to rock out a little bit for about an hour at 6 o'clock. And it's almost like clockwork, and I can hear the music coming through the floors. But like, that's it. And it's like so rare. And for me, I'm very sensitive to like kind of the sound of bass coming through a wall, even if it's not that loud. And so that's huge for me. But that's also really a hard thing to kind of know about a place before you live there. You know, you come, you look at a place, you walk around, but you're looking at a place maybe at 6 o'clock on a Tuesday evening, you say you like the place, and then you move in, and then I work from home. God knows if the people, you know, below us or above us or whatever like to make noise during the day. Like the, me
teach
doing
a Zumba class from the apartment.
Do you remember our downstairs neighbors? I had all kinds of. I loved my apartment in L.A., but we had so many noisy neighbors, and the people who lived directly below us had these two little girls, the cutest damn girls you could ever possibly imagine. Wonderful family, so goddamn loud. They would literally do jump rope and what's the pogo stick downstairs. They would ride their
seriously.
Yeah, no, I'm not even exaggerating. They would ride their big wheels around on the wood floors downstairs. It always sounded so loud while I was trying to talk to you. So that my number one thing would be a place that is nice and quiet. But also, you've heard me complain about so many things in this apartment, so I can't kind of pretend like I'm just chill bro about everything else. I know that, like, in-suite laundry, now that we have it for the first time, like, I don't think I can, depending on where the nearest laundromat is, I don't want to go back to kind of scheduling my weekends around a laundromat trip anymore. That's a pretty big one. I would miss, I have a feeling we won't probably have a big backyard for parties like we do now. So that would be certainly something that I'll miss.
I think, well, yeah, definitely the peace and quiet is, that's a given. I mean, I almost don't even include that in the list because it's like to not have that would be kind of life ruining. But I would say for me, I wouldn't say happily, but I would certainly be able to make peace with living in a place that was not, I don't know, all that nice or a kind of in the style that I'm into, if at least some part of it had a view of something. And that view doesn't have to be of like Lake Washington or something. It could be literally just as long as you can stare out the window and look at something, as long as I can do some good staring every day.
As long as I can just look out the window and pretend I'm somebody else.
Yeah.
That's all.
Or
I
just
want.
Think about someone else's life, right, like I used to do in college when I would stare at 520. The 520 floating bridge, and I would see the little lights going across, and I would just think, each one of those people has a life, and I'll never know anything about it, but it's very important to them. That was around the same time when I thought I had gotten my second person pregnant under the age of 20, and I would listen to a lot of Bob Marley and just feel not extremely hopeful about the world. The irony...
Oh, sorry.
I was going to say, and I've talked about this on the show before, and you know, maybe this for our 11-year-old listeners like McCoy... Maybe this is a time to turn down the volume. But the irony or the interesting element of it was that the person I thought I had gotten pregnant, the second person, we had not consummated the relationship, nor would we ever.
That's what I was going to ask. I was going to say, do I remember it right? This second pregnancy scare did not actually involve the act.
Not even close. That's the crazy – but that's what – when you have one at 17, it'll really put a dent in your brain.
Yeah,
to the point
so.
Where you think it's very possible that you got someone else pregnant even though you barely rounded second base.
Well, by the way, I probably never said it, but congratulations out of, you know, for getting out of that one.
Thank you.
That close call.
Congratulations. Accepted.
Yep. So for you, it's a stare in place.
I like a good yeah. stare. That's it. And you know what? Actually, I've never lived in a place that actually had, this sounds a little weird, that had a particularly nice bathroom.
Well, except now. You mean rent a place?
Well, rental or otherwise, up until this house. Oh. And then we remodeled the bathroom and I love it. In there. I never knew, like, for years I had like a shower in LA. It was like the shower was in a bathtub kind of thing. And I don't know, it just seemed fine to me. It's like I was like, yeah, I guess you just get in the bathtub when you shower. But now I'm like really happy that I don't have to do that because we have kind of like a separate, you know, standing shower or whatever. Little things like that. I never even knew how much more comfortable and nice a bathroom could be because I'd never had one that was like kind of fancy. But now we have one, and that's pretty rad, I got to say. On HGTV, Andrew, they always say bathrooms and kitchens are what sell houses. And I understand why they say that now.
Yeah, I am so looking forward to moving. With this place, you know, I think that you and a lot of people who've been over here say that I give it a harder time than it deserves, right? Because it does have – It does have some good qualities. It's pretty big and airy and has some good light in some places. Has some nice big windows. So there are some good things about it. But you know how you just kind of get... Because moving is such a pain in the ass, you really start to kind of... You just get used to your surroundings and you overlook certain things. But like the space issues here, there are so many things that I didn't want to get used to. Like I really hate our bathroom here. It's just downright gross in places. Like,
well,
just,
you do some of your best work in the bathroom, and I don't mean... Mm-hmm. Going number two, I mean, you, one of your favorite activities appears to be to take every item out of the bathroom, clean each and every item, and then clean the bathroom and then put them back into the bathroom.
Hey, Luke, you want to know a secret? A little preview? A little preview of this week's Hay Dubbies?
Probably whisper it, though, if it's a secret.
I did Hay Dubbies in the bathroom this week.
Ah.
It's a cleaning-related Hay Dubbies. So look forward to that in your weekly TBTL newsletter. But I guess what I was going to say was, so we came here and I knew this was going to happen. I was kind of grumpy about all the deficits of this place, which were many, and also the management style, of the people who run it.
The landlord, the ultimate landlord, sounds like a character from Twin Peaks.
Yes. Yes. The actual owner. Yeah. Yeah.
The person who will not come out of their car, possibly for health reasons, like... That's very Twin Peaks, isn't it?
Yeah, no, that it is. It is an interesting. Yeah, that part is an interesting setup. But you know, you move into a place and you even know, like, well, I'll get used to that. And there are so many things I got used to, and that's like that's part of the human condition or whatever. It's a good thing. It's a defense mechanism, I think. Like, you just kind of get used to your surroundings. And you stop seeing the deficits all the time. But there are just things that like. Here, let me explain it this way. So our bedroom isn't that big. That's fine. Like, whatever. So we have our bed in the one place it'll fit. But then Genevieve has the type of closet doors that are on, like, what would you say? Like, two sets of hinges? The kind that kind of fold out, you know, just like classic closet doors, right? You pull them out towards you and they slide to the sides. But as they slide to the sides, they kind of stick out from the wall there, right? And... It is so close to our bed that almost every night Genevieve goes in her closet. Genevieve has a problem with leaving cupboards and closets open. I have no compunctions about outing her on that. It is insane to me. I don't know how you just go through your life just opening cupboards, taking stuff out, and then never closing them again. But that's just how Genevieve
goes through life. Well, we're talking about a person who takes the lid off of a soda and then just hucks it willy-nilly out into the world.
Yeah.
I mean...
And then just
believe anything you told me.
Yeah, no, she's. I mean, clearly.
By the way, I realize as I said that I have a bottle of Coke Zero here on the desk. No lid.
Where's the lid?
I lied. I mean, it's in front of it. I know where the lid is.
Okay,
but I was, you know, on my high horse about relidding my soda in between drinks the other day, and it turns out I'm not actually doing that. So,
But anyway, I'm drawing this out too much. Anyway, so when I go to bed, usually I'm going to bed after Genevieve, and almost every night I almost run into the closet door, because when you open the closet door, it almost becomes like a closed door between the small little area that I need to walk through to get to my side of the bed. You probably can't even picture that. Who knows? Maybe I'll edit this all out. But it's just like all these little things about life that are not a huge deal, and people have so much worse living conditions. But I am very much – I'm almost glad they raised the rent, because if they didn't raise the rent, we would never be motivated to move, because objects at rest tend to stay at rest, especially when those objects have to pay first and last month in a security deposit and a moving company and everything that goes along with the pain in the ass of moving. And so at first we were going to tell our landlords, like, listen, if you don't want to if you want to negotiate on this, we'll stick around. We'll sign another year lease or something at the current rate, but we're going to start – looking for a new place immediately if you're married to this rent increase. And we almost said that at first, but then we thought, no, let's, if we decide we want to talk them down later, let's, we can find a place and then we'll have some, you know, negotiating leverage here. And then the more I thought about it, and first of all, looking around, there are so many places for the amount of money that our new rent will be. We can get places with an extra bedroom. Like, it's crazy. And so I'm kind of glad that our landlord decided to raise the rent, because otherwise we would have just stayed here and dealt with this stuff forever. You know, a furnace that sounds like a jet engine. So we have to blast the TV, you know, every night. If we were to watch TV every night, and clearly we're not that kind of family.
No, a friend of yours.
No, not at all. And again, we just kind of got used to that. And so I'm so looking forward to, again, kind of being engaged in this process and working with Genevieve and finding a place that I think will actually kind of be so much happier in.
Well, I'm excited for you because I love looking for a new place. And if you need me to just to, you know, you want to give me the search parameters,
yes,
I'll get on.
I will.
I'll get on some rental sites. I'll send you some ideas. We are way overdue for a break. By the way, I'm happy for you because I think you're going to like your new place more. I'm interested, and I think the listeners are interested to hear how this process goes. So let's do this. Let's take a quick break. We'll come back. We'll do some top stories. We got some emails and even maybe a mini no point conversion, time permitting. The new Dodge Dakota. All the torque you'll need and still get you home in style.
We all live on the edge of town, where we all live in a soda town. People start coming, all we do is just a grin. Said we gotta move out, cause city's moving in. I said we gotta move out.
I do love this song. I know I play it a lot, but it's called Moving Out. It just seems so appropriate.
Who is this? I don't even know if I've heard this.
It's Aerosmith. I've made you listen to it on the show before. It's off of their very first album in 1973.
Oh, yes, yes, yes.
Yeah.
Their lyric that he says they're moving out because their landlord is the log lady.
did I tell
truer
you
today than when Steven Tyler wrote it?
Did I tell you I've been trying to catch up on Twin Peaks? Did I tell you that? That's kind of what I did for when BatchCon 2016 kind of became cold and flu 2017. I decided, you know what? I can't even remember what happens in the second half of the second season. Like after they kind of solve the Laura Palmer thing, the season goes on for like another 13 episodes or something, I think. So I decided I was going to try to binge all the old Twin Peaks, but I only made it through like, I don't know, season one and some change. You didn't watch that all the way through, did you?
No, I actually never watched Twin Peaks. I never got into it. So when I finally started interacting with David Lynch's material, it was, you know, things like Mulholland Drive and Blue Velvet. And I was deeply confused. And I really think I like David Lynch as a character on Louis C.K.'s show.
right.
That's the extent of my appreciation of David Lynch, which I know is an indicator that I have a very simplistic view of narrative storytelling.
I don't think that's true. Like, I don't think you should feel bad for not necessarily loving David Lynch movies. I mean, they're weird. And
really?
I think and I like them, and I think it's kind of, you know, I have fun liking them, but they're not flawless. Like I think that anybody who tries to like pull some sort of hipster bullshit that's trying to make you feel like you just don't get it, man. I don't buy that. You either like that kind of style of weird stuff and just letting, you know, kind of letting some plot. I think there's tons of like gaps in his movies that for somebody who's a little bit more literal minded, that just doesn't fly. And there's nothing wrong with that.
I mean, I agree with you, but I also just have a lot of problems picking up like symbolism, which
symbology. You know,
what is the symbology of that? I like even in things that are not super obscure. Like I was so in like college and high school, I was never good at, you know, the part of the assignment was like, well, what's the symbolism of this book or what? And then it's like, well, his struggle to do this is really, you know, it's a comment on capitalism or whatever. All of the book reports I wrote were about the Fountainhead. You think I would have figured
who
out by like
John
third
Galt?
Or fourth,
that's
the third or fourth book report. I would have just been like, I would have had it down. But so when I find myself not interested in stuff like David Lynch, I do feel like it indicates a certain lack of imagination on my part. But I'm not going to beat myself up over it. Mm-hmm. I did beat myself up this morning doing Focus T25. Your body is a board. Nothing moves until Sean T tells it to. I'm in this weird pitched battle with the front desk of this hotel that is completely and totally asymmetric. This is typically the hotel I stay at when I'm in New York because, one, it's close to CBS, and two, CBS pays for it. And so but they changed their deal with the hotel to where, like, they're paying a reduced rate. And for the reduced rate, I have to pay extra for gym privileges.
Oh, interesting.
And so what happened was, when I checked in, the guy said, okay, it's, you know, it's an extra $15 a day if you want to use the gym. Because actually the way it works here is the gym that is associated with this hotel is a private gym that other people can be members of.
Sure.
But, it, you know, it's usually included in – because it's rare to find a hotel that doesn't have some kind of workout you know, situation. So when I checked in, I said – the guy said it's extra for the gym. Now, the funny part is I think CBS will pay for that too. Or I could just pay $15 out of my own pocket. I'm doing that well in podcasting.
Hmm.
And but I said, what? He goes, yeah. Hold on. He was like, let me check. So he goes in the back room. He checks, comes back, goes, yeah, the rate you have does not cover gym, so you'd have to pay for that, you know, separately. And I was like, well, I'm going to run in Central Park tomorrow. And he said, no, you're not, because it's going to be snowing. And I said, I'm from Seattle, which is a weird thing to say.
Yeah, interesting.
I was just trying to be like, I wanted him to know that I was a hardy soul and that I could jog in Central Park, even if it was snowy outside. Because sometimes I jog in Bellingham when it's snowing. Although I'll tell you this, this is being 41. My thought the whole time is that black ice? Is that black ice? That's just the I retire hard hat lunch pail for one day and just replace it with, is that black ice? But anyway, so the next morning, I actually did not end up going and jogging in Central Park, although it had not yet snowed, so I could have conceivably done it. But I also didn't want to sign up for the gym membership because I feel like I don't want to go down there and have to have the same guy sell me the $15 day pass to the gym. Like
after you haughtily said,
yes, exactly. Yeah, I feel like he's won at that point. By the way, he was a totally nice guy. That's why I said this is asymmetric. It only exists really in my brain. And so this morning I got up and I was like, I'm not going to go. I don't want to go in Central Park because it is actually super cold. And I was like, I don't want to go get the membership from him. So I was like, I'll do Focus T25 on my laptop, which is like, for those of us who didn't have the stick-to-itiveness for P90X, it's like half the time. And so I did that in the hotel room. And oh my God, I am already so sore I can barely move. And it's not going to be a pretty picture tomorrow.
Well, let me ask you this. Let's not talk about the exercise. Let's talk about the finances of this. What is it? It's not P90X. What is it? I've already forgotten.
T25.
T25. That's not a free thing either, though, right? Is this something that you already bought as a package and you now have it downloaded? Or do you have to go to a special website and pay a little bit or what? Or is it just on YouTube?
Your body is a board, okay? Nothing moves until Sean T tells it to move.
That's just a sample.
Thank you.
Of the magic of T25. Can I be totally honest with you?
Does it involve your dad bootlegging this for you?
Oh, my God. Have I told you? I can't remember what we talk about on the air or not on the air. But so maybe we talked about this already on the show. But my dad's latest move is not only does he bootleg like every program on planet Earth, not only does he have a VPN for this.
Oh, yeah.
But his thing is he'll put it on thumb drives, but then he puts the thumb drives back in the packaging that they came in.
Oh, right. You did say
that. Which is deeply confusing because he's like walking up to you just giving you an unopened thumb drive from Staples. You're like, what is this? Like he thinks that that's the fanciest presentation of a thumb drive is for the thumb drive to literally be back inside the packaging he bought it in.
Or I think it's more about like him imagining himself getting busted and having some sort of like plausible deniability. Like, I don't know. This is how I bought the USB drive.
I don't know why it has Broadchurch on it.
I don't know, man. I assume that maybe it came preloaded with some stuff. I don't know. Yeah. You're going to want to talk to Betsy at Best Buy.
So I'm not saying that I pirated T25 like five computers ago. But I don't exactly remember the origins of how it got into the folder that's on this computer. So I may have paid for it at some point. I may not have.
Are you being serious?
I'm being totally serious. It's migrated across multiple computers. Like I have a folder that says T25, and it's always on the desktop of my whatever computer I'm using a lot. And it's for moments exactly like today. If I'm in an argument with the front desk about gym privileges, I can just work out in the room. But it is like so much more intense so much harder than just jogging 3 miles, it turns out. And so I, that was sort of really not related to anything we were talking about, but I don't know.
Well, can
I, my mind, so I figured it was good enough to talk about with you.
Can I go back to my, can I tie that back to my boring story about movies?
Yes.
That's another thing that I'm excited about. I have belonged to, now I don't know if anything is going to work out, but I'm excited to think that this might open up some better gym membership opportunities for me, or that's probably the wrong way of putting it, but I've been a loyal customer of 24-hour fitness for a really long time now. And during periods of my life, it really served me well. I signed up for it here in Seattle. I'm sure I've told you this before. I had a great routine when I was doing TBTL during the day with you and the night show on Cairo at night. I'd start at the gym. Like, everything was like on the way. Like, I had this, I just had this whole path, you know, mapped out every day, gym. You know, like they used to say on Jersey Shore, Jim Luke Night Show. Remember that? That yep. was a very popular phrasing uh-huh. for a while.
Oh, Snooki.
And now, since, and then in LA, it served me well. There's a 24-hour fitness near my house that I could walk to, one near my work that I could drive to, et cetera, et cetera. That's why I like having belonging to a chain. But since we've moved to this place here in Seattle, there is one up in Northgate, which, as the crow flies, if I was able to warg into a crow, is not that far away. But with the traffic here, it would take me like 40 minutes to, like, you know, I have to motivate myself. I'm already at home, motivate myself to get in the car, battle rush hour traffic with all the bozos who actually have to leave their house for their job so I can go to this kind of crappy
gym. Are you
gym.
Trying that new thing where you call people bozos?
Yeah, especially people who work for a living. Which is the majority of people. So anyway, I am thinking, you know, we're looking at places. I was about to cancel my subscription. I was about to cancel my membership to this gym last week, but now that I know we're going to be moving, I realize there could be another 24-hour fitness in my future, and everything could work out. Or we could be by another place that I just have to switch memberships.
Or you could join, as Camaro calls it, La Fitness, which they seem happy at, and which is also where Frank from the Mandarin Gate, dearly departed. From that job, not from Planet Earth. He works out there. And,
really? Does Camaro see him?
Yeah, sees him all the time.
And they talk? They know each other?
I believe they do. Huh. You know, the other option is we could just dedicate a portion of each day's show to me just playing T25 over the radio for you.
Want me to do it?
What are we doing? Guys, you're there. Come on.
All right.
In five.
Okay.
Four. Yep. Three. Two. Lateral mile climb and stay center.
What am I doing?
Move left. Move right. Okay.
You're doing lateral mountain climbers. So you're doing kind of like, you know what a mountain climber is?
No, not standing, in this context.
You're standing and you're kind of, your legs are going up and down. You're kind of running in place, but you're also reaching your arms and hands up, alternating. Mm. So you're kind of like, it's sort of like you're climbing up. Imagine you're climbing up a sheer rock face kind of with your body, but you're also moving left and right. So you're kind of running to the left, running to the right, like kind of shuffling. And then it's funny when you and some of our listeners who do this kind of stuff will identify with this. You start to know everything the guy is going to say. At some point, I think he just says he's going to go, it's just a revolving door around here.
Move left. Get the knees up. Move right. Move left. How we feeling? Move right. Move left. Move right. Raise your focus, cardio. Move left. Move right. Move left. How we feeling, guys? Stay there. Move right.
Oh wait.
You guys better be moving around this room.
I gotta play you one thing really quick, and then we can move on. He does this move where there's a guy doing squats. I mean, they're all doing squats, but he goes up and he totally kind of shames one of the dudes.
Oh.
Because he's not doing the squats deep enough, and it always stresses me out. Let's see if
keep it going. Come on. One, two. How you feeling, Derek? Derek, I'm going to ask you to get a little lower. There you go. Chest up nice and high. Now, Derek has good squats. I'm going to ask him to go a little lower, okay? Push. He's the oldest one in the room. 45.
Why you got to hate on Derek?
Wow.
We got to be mean to Derek. He's 45. And when I watch that, I can't help but think, dude, what would I do if I warged into one of these people that was on the video? Because this is all like one take. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So, like, you got to – I'm sure they have some editing tricks they can do, but it's basically one class, you know? And so you – like, you need to do the exercises perfectly because you're the demonstration. And, like, it's pretty hard, actually. And I am, like – I'm nowhere near doing exactly what they're doing on the video screen, but I'm like, oh man, it's like I would be the biggest Derek in that.
Don't be a Derek.
The biggest Derek on that show. He'd be like, all right, Luke, I need you to get lower on squats. All right, Luke, I need you to get up. You're just sitting down. All right, Luke, I need you to stop drinking Gatorade. I need you to come back. I need you to be part of the workout.
Okay, Luke, I'm going to have to ask you to put the G&T down. We are trying to exercise here.
Yeah, exactly. Again, major digression. I apologize. But thank you, Andrew, for tying it back into your story. At least you gave it some amount of legitimacy as a topic. Let's thank our donors of the day. These donors show the kind of focus that you can only learn from T25 Alpha Cardio.
You don't donate until Sean T tells you to.
Your bank account is a board. Nothing moves. Until Sean T tells it to. Thank you for donating to TBTL, Wendy Ross of Cheyenne, Wyoming, and Alice Scheiderer of Seattle, Washington, and Elizabeth McElraith of West Seneca, New York, and Alicia Elliott of Stoughton, Massachusetts. How do you pronounce that?
Worcester, I think. I don't know.
Wendy, Allison, Elizabeth, and Alicia, they donated during the last TBTL-a-thon. Those donations are what make the show possible. And I just want to say thank you to them. Have you ever been to, am I saying Stoughton right? You spent a lot of time in Massachusetts.
I don't know where Stoughton, Massachusetts is. I will say, though, I recognize Elizabeth's name. I believe Elizabeth is the person who became a new listener, I think, like just in the past couple of years. And she stands out to me because she'll write in stuff a lot. If I'm thinking of the right person, I believe she was the first person who I saw who changed her bio on Twitter to wife. And mother.
Oh.
I think.
Aha. I feel like it's anecdotal, but I feel like we actually have been getting some new listeners. We've been hearing from some new folks, which is always nice to get a little new blood in the old operation.
Yeah.
By the way, the show runs on money and human blood.
Yeah, it's really weird. We have, well, should I even say this? It's a little bit. If people don't understand it, it's going to sound kind of scary. But what we do, we have Nate Toby, our boss. He's in like a chamber and he is sitting on a chair and there's an IV type of situation. And it's...
Are you familiar with the opening of Mad Max Fury Road?
It's something...
Think of a kind of similar situation.
It's something like that, only with more clothing.
We call him Toe Cutter.
We call him Tobe Cutter.
Do we call this episode Tobe Cutter?
Do we have a new nickname for our boss? He's been our boss for like over a year now. We haven't come up with a good nickname for him.
Tobe Cutter. That's so great. I don't 100% know if he'll dig that, but
no,
we give it a shot.
Not. Probably not.
We got Kalo. We got Kalo, Christina.
Oh, that's right.
We don't have one yet for Brandon.
Oh, Jaren we're calling AstroTurf, I think.
Yep, we got AstroTurf, we still need one for Brandon.
Oh, yeah. His last name is Santos. I think it's okay that we just out all of our behind-the-scenes colleagues, right? No harm in that.
Absolutely. If they didn't want to be outed, they wouldn't let us know what their real names were.
In fact, his real name might not be Santos. Now that I think about it, that might have just been something he told me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I think you don't have a reasonable expectation of privacy if you're using your real name at work.
That's right.
You don't expect us to just blast it out to the universe.
Right. Anyway, I have his address here, too, if anybody wants to swing by, say a quick hello if you're in the Twin Cities area.
One of those people that might swing by, maybe Wendy, maybe Allison, maybe Elizabeth, maybe Alicia, or alternately, Alicia. Thank you so much to the four of you for donating to TBTL. Thank you for keeping this thing going. Thank you for making episode 2592 in a collector series possible.
Tobe cutter.
It's starting to stick.
I said that because I think the guy, what's his name, like Joe, I'm going to call him Joe Dirt. Now I'm thinking about if Fury Road, instead of the guy, you know, the main scary guy, his name is something Joe.
Oh, I don't know. I can't remember anybody's names.
Well, the main kind of baddie.
Okay.
His name is something Joe. He was the guy who played Toe Cutter in the original, like,
Road Warrior
movie. That's why I was. I believe so.
So
to be wrong on that.
So they obviously Toe Cutter isn't in the new one, but they use the same actor. That why wouldn't they just bring him back? Does Toe Cutter die?
Well, he's not, because he's like. His body is very different now, for one thing. I mean, he's an old man now, or he's in his like 60s or 70s or something.
Right, and it's still the same universe. It's not like 60 years has passed.
And I think it's just that the director liked working with that guy. But what I'm really thinking about is if that character, everybody who saw the movie knows the main bad guy, if that guy was just played by David Spade as Joe Dirt.
Mm.
But just without like any kind of, like, without winking, like, without, like, with, just, we're not, you never even wink to the audience. It's just the same exact movie, but it's Joe Dirt riding around. It's Joe Dirt driving a car or truck with, like, a guy playing electric guitar on the front of it.
Now, is Joe Dirt wearing the, because he's wearing a mask, right? And they're all wearing masks, but this Joe guy, he's got a mask with tubes coming off of it. Right now, would it be so? Would Joe Dirt also be wearing that mask, or would Joe Dirt be in his usual Joe Dirt getup?
By the way, it's Immortan Joe. That's the name of that character.
Immortan
Joe.
Okay.
Well, great question. You know what? I'll do some thinking on this, Andrew.
Okay.
And
yeah.
I'll get back to you.
I'm looking at him now. Okay. Yeah. And that's not Joe Dirt. Okay. Gotcha.
No, definitely is not Joe
Dirt. Oh, okay.
Might be Kevin James. Might be somebody from the Spade universe.
Oh, I would kill to see Kevin James. All right. Well, we have a new project. We need to recast the entire... I don't know. Do we do the whole Mad Max all four movies or just the new one?
Oh, man. Thunderdome. All kinds of possibilities there.
Mm-hmm.
Again, you know what? I'll write up some notes.
I'll
share them with you through the APM Slack account.
Just Slack at me, and I'll go through some stuff with you.
All right, cool.
Hello, and welcome to Top Story.
You know, Andrew, I played that sound effect, and I realized... Do I even want to talk about this open table thing?
Really?
I don't know.
Basically, I only know the headline. The headline sounds interesting. Tell me.
Well, it
don't worry about the audience. Just tell me.
Okay. You guide me. I did read this with great interest, but then I don't know if it sort of lacked a little bit in dazzling details. Basically, you know what open table is.
You make reservations via this app.
Yeah. Yeah. So OpenTable says that one of its employees went rogue by basically using a rival service to sign up for like hundreds of reservations at restaurants in Chicago, like on Valentine's Day. And then nobody showed up for the reservations. And this was meant, I guess, to sort of besmirch the good name of the other company. So that, I don't know, I guess maybe the restaurants will want to stop working with them or something like that. The restaurants included like Tavern on the Park in Chicago. They had 25 no-shows at key times over the course of 2 months. New Year's Eve, Valentine's Day, also Pearl's Southern Comfort, which is a restaurant in Chicago, was having a bunch of no-shows. And it turned out dozens of other restaurants that had been using an app or a company called Reserve, which was the competing online reservation system, they were having the same problem. And then Eater wrote about this, the website Eater, that somebody at Reserve figured out that something was up. And in fact, it was an employee of OpenTable.com who had placed more than 300 reservations at 45 Chicago restaurants with the intent of leaving the tables empty. OpenTable was able to figure out who it was, even though the person had tried to anonymize it, but I guess it was, you know, traceable. And they fired the person immediately. They apologized. To their credit, by the way, they did offer to reimburse the restaurants for lost money.
Wow, that could be pricey, because I know they're trying to pull one over on their competitors, but they're really, I mean, on New Year's Eve and Valentine's Day at these high price restaurants, that is mucho buxo, as south of the border.
Sure, si, senor. I have a feeling that they're going to, it's like they're like, we'll reimburse you, but there's probably some fine print. Because for one thing, if you're the restaurateur, you know, I have been saying restaurateur my whole life, but I think it's actually restaurateur. Isn't that weird?
I think you told me that once and I reject it, even though it's probably right. Well, I mean, my soul rejects it.
I agree. It makes less sense to me. But the only reason I know it is because we were editing a CBS TV piece today. And it has the word – that is me reading the script, and it has the word restaurateur in it. And I didn't write that, but I had written restaurateur, and then somebody corrected me.
Restaurateur.
So, I don't –
that's how it's spelled.
Right to me.
No, restaurateur.
Restaurateur.
Restaurateur. Restaurateur,
like
she says.
Sherbet. There's an R in there somewhere.
I know.
Who took the R?
Man, did I go crazy on some sherbet when I was sick. I'm going to keep saying sherbet, by the way. I thought of something. This is another thing that will be the difference between you and I. We were talking about that Halo Top ice cream, and Genevieve found another brand that was, I don't know, it was something else, but it's exactly the same kind of consistency of that Halo Top stuff, which is almost it's like it's ice cream, but it's because it's low fat.
Almost
it's like
ice milk.
Yeah, it's like drier and kind of it kind of chunks off, and it doesn't melt as nicely.
I would not argue it's as good as regular ice cream, but I would say it is. It's less bad than the other things that are also kind of low calorie in the ice cream department, in my experience. And their birthday cake ice cream, which is not the kind of thing I would ever eat normally, is actually pretty good.
Well, here's where I'm going with this. So I ate Genevieve's entire thing of that. So I went to the freezer section of my local grocer to replace it. And while I was there, I picked up a sweet treat for myself, which was a thing of rainbow sherbet, which I love. Now,
I drink your milkshake.
Putting aside these low fat ice creams, which obviously don't, you know, we know they're not as good as real ice cream or even real sherbet. If you could choose between real ice cream or real sherbet, I'm assuming you would take real ice cream.
Oh, no question about it. I personally, no offense, peace and love, but I kind of think sherbet, that's wasted calories to me. I'm going real ice cream all the day.
Not me, man. I was actually thinking about that because I'm sure I'm in the minority on this, and I thought for sure that I would be in the, you know, that you would see things differently. But if I, you know, if somebody said, "Hey, Andrew, we're gonna wipe out you can only eat ice cream or sherbet the rest of your life," I would choose sherbet without even having to think about it.
Wow, that's a hot take, my friend. That is a bold take.
I don't know, man. 10 years in, I can still surprise you, or however many years.
Yeah.
Five, 10.
God,
what's
if I knew
difference?
The words to "Still the One" by Faith Hill, I would sing it right now.
There's something refreshing. There's something refreshing about it. And I don't hate ice cream, but there's something that the idea of tucking it. And by the way, my preferred way of eating ice cream or sherbet is directly out of the container.
It's a dangerous game, though.
I know. You're telling me. Tell my thighs.
And that's actually, I got to say, to Halo Top's credit, because, you know, Carrie's job these days is that she's like the head copywriter for Mod Pizza.
Oh, yeah.
You talked about this on the show.
You did mention that. I forgot. How is that going? That's such a cool job.
It's going great. It's a really, I have to say, it is an extremely cool company. I mean, their main reason for existing, because the people who started the company, they're a husband and wife, and they had already had a very successful company, a coffee company that they had sold to Starbucks. So they were not like trying to make money with this. They wanted to create opportunities for people that were like getting out of prison. Mm. And so one of their things is they hire a lot of people at Mod who otherwise might have a difficult time getting employed, often because they have been in prison before. And it's, I'm just here via Carrie, just the way that a lot of these folks are just, Their lives really kind of blossom, you know, from just like getting respect and having a job and being part of a cool team. So it's actually, I have to say, and also the pizza is really great. When they perfect a low-carb pizza, that's when I'll darken the door. Mm. But I've heard it's good. Anyway, so she does copywriting, and there's just so much stuff that needs to be written for – I mean, they have like 300 restaurants. So it's like when you walk in, there's like a sign that tells you about a finishing sauce, et cetera. And like she writes all of that stuff now. Mm. And so we're always thinking about that kind of stuff in our household. And and she analyzes it now, you know, when other companies do it. And I like Halo Top's thing is they're just like one thing is they know the ice cream is going to be kind of hard, probably because it's diet ice cream when it's been in the freezer. So they have like don't rush this like on the lid, which I think is kind of clever. And then also they have something about how basically like. Go ahead, eat the entire pint because it's, you know, it's pretty low cal, so you can. If I eat an entire pint of like Ben and Jerry's, I'm kind of feeling like I made a bad decision. Mm-hmm. But with Halo Top, get a whole pint going. I mean, I assume I'm going to eat the whole thing, and it's actually calorically okay to do that. So,
how about this then? How about I lay another hot take on you? This one might not surprise you as much.
Fire away.
The buildup is too much. But for me, when I am tucking into ice cream, I said my favorite way of eating ice cream is directly out of the carton, and that's very. Contextually important, I guess. When I talk about when I am super hungry and I'm going to go to a restaurant to eat, often the thing I'm thinking about is not the food that I want to eat, but what kind of environment do I want to eat in? Do I want to go to a place where I can order at the counter really quickly and take it back to my seat? If so, then I might go to a taco place or get teriyaki. Do I want table service and some soup? If that's the case, then I'm going to go to a pub or something.
Where and would usually, you go for like a small perch dinner?
Oh, we got to get to email so I can tell you it's about some perch dinner stories, or at least facts. But I don't know why I'm talking so much. My point is, when I think about my platonic ideal of eating ice cream or sherbet is not like at a restaurant, you know, after a fancy meal, eating a fancy dessert that has some ice cream attached to it or something, which I'm sure is, you know, just far better ice cream than what I'm buying at my local grocer. But I like eating ice cream late at night out of the carton in front of the TV. That makes me happy. Here's the hot take. If I had to choose between eating a properly portioned amount of good real ice cream or eating an entire container of lesser ice cream of the Halo Top variety, I am in it for the experience, so I would rather eat the entire thing of Halo Top than a proportioned amount of real ice cream. Maybe that's actually a cold take. Maybe everybody feels that way.
Fire it all.
No, that's a fire take.
Is it?
Because it's like, it's basically like you're saying, I like this less, but I get to eat more of it, yeah. So I will take it.
Yes. Yeah,
you know, it's in a weird way. It's sort of it's illogical. You're like, this is not my favorite, but I get to have more of not my favorite than the thing that is my favorite, which I have to have less of. So I'll take the not my favorite. There's sort of the old joke, right? That's
Woody Allen.
Is that it? You know,
Annie Hall.
Well, just somebody. What did he say?
Doesn't he say you're like the person who goes in the restaurant and says the food is horrible and the portions are so small? Or am
exactly.
I cut you off.
Okay, that's exactly that joke.
Yeah.
We don't need to lose more time to sherbet or sherbert talk. But I can see it being refreshing in the summertime. It's kind of got a fruity flavor to it. Is it always orange? I always, you know, orange. Is there any other kind of sherbet?
Yeah,
given that it will be orange.
Yeah, because I always like to get the rainbow stuff. So it has like three flavors, kind of like, you know, in three stripes. It was like raspberry, maybe it was like pink, red, and or pink, green, and yellow, maybe, or no, pink, green, and orange. So you have the orange, lime, and raspberry. I think are the standard flavors. I think I will say though, back to that eating out of the carton, because I love eating the ice cream, but I will tell you my very, very, very favorite part of eating the ice cream is a few minutes in after you've already kind of dragged the spoon around the side all the way around. You've made a gully all the way around the outside of the container. And now you have a little mountain in the middle. Then you start working on the mountain a little bit. But while you've been working on the mountain, let's say you're in about five minutes now, that the outside has now melted a little bit, and you take your spoon, and that next time you start scraping around the side of the container, the ice cream or sherbet has melted a little bit, and it just starts kind of rolling into the spoon. It's almost milkshake-like. It's just like between ice cream and milkshake. That's it. I never want to give that up. Eating ice cream out of a bowl for the rest of my life, even if somebody told me it, you know, you'll never gain weight. You can eat all the ice cream out of a bowl you want, or you can go back to the old way and you can eat out of containers. I'd eat it out of containers because I never want to give up the scraping of the side of the container.
We call that rolling in the deep.
That is,
and
what they call it.
I know what you mean. It is a that's a sublime experience. Let's do this. Let us maybe do like one email. Because we got to wrap things up. You got to go look at your new home. And I should go get something to eat. But I was going to say, let's do like an email. Let's hold the mini no point for tomorrow. What do you say? And even the bulk of the emails. I know you're telling me we got a lot of emails.
Yeah, a lot of stuff
because tomorrow we're going to kind of do a short turnaround for tomorrow's show because I'm trying to record it before I fly back to the West Coast. And it'd be nice to just know that that's kind of like the majority of tomorrow's show will be a bunch of emails and some no point and, you know, anything else that comes up. Would that be okay with you?
Yeah, that sounds good to me.
Okay, here we go with this guy.
Here I go once again with the email every week. I hope that it's from a female. Oh, man, it's not from a female.
The other thing I can talk about tomorrow is that, one, I got CBS to let me record an entire commentary about Rudy.
Oh, nice.
So Rudy will be for like 3 minutes or something, like the most famous dog in America at that moment in time. It's basically about how I don't think we should clone Rudy, even though we love her.
Oh,
you know,
thing, yeah.
Playing off the old Barbara Streisand story. And then I also got them to let me do a profile of the Flamin' Hot Cheetos inventor guy.
Oh, nice. And you've already done that? That's already in the can?
No. That's like a producer is working on setting it up, you know, getting in touch with him and figuring it out. But like, so I'm really leaning into the various TBTL topics. Oh, and I also did a commentary about my new movement I'm trying to start about seat reclining on airplanes. I'm trying to start a movement called Decline to Recline.
Oh, nice. Good.
And, it's the thing I say constantly on this show, but just broadcast on TV to some people who maybe haven't heard it before. That's what I've been doing when not TBTLing. Let's focus on TBTL for once and talk about these emails.
I'm going to share this one quick one with you because it's about yesterday's show, but there's so much I want to get to, so we got to do this tomorrow. So Clapper Talk. You were talking about the Amazon Echo yesterday and how actually, did you have an update on that? Can you tell me in two sentences?
Amazon is saying that the reason it's happening is because the clapper thinks you're asking it to laugh. It's misunderstanding normal conversation or non-laugh related conversation to be clapper, can you laugh? And so they're trying to fix that. Why that's even a function, why you'd want that thing to laugh at all. I mean, we always talk about the uncanny valley. Like, I find the laughing upsetting no matter what. I don't know why that's programmed in as a thing it can respond to.
That's interesting because I thought the whole point was people were alone in their apartments and suddenly it would start laughing.
That's what I read in New York Magazine today, or no, maybe it was Slate. It was somewhere, and they were saying that that's the official story as of right now.
That's interesting. It just seemed like it's funny. I think that's maybe a problem with the reporting is the reporting made it sound like it was a new thing that's been happening. Maybe it's just, it's been happening the whole time and enough of it came to a head. And so they wrote up these stories and then it caught fire. Anyway, here's what Lisa wrote on Facebook. Speaking of weird clapper talk, we keep ours in my 11's office and we don't really use it much. The cat mostly hangs out in there. The other day, my 11 asked, I'll say clapper instead of the real world word. The other day, my 11 asked, clapper, how's it going? And it said, okay, but I get lonely. The cat talks to me sometimes. He says, meow. She says,
wow.
I figure it must know we have a cat. He's a really vocal cat. and the Echo is probably programmed to recognize cat and dog sounds, likely just one of those things developers programmed to get a laugh.
Or is it possible that they're using the device to order pet food from the internet?
Or based
to make
on her
a shopping list related to pet food? Like, is there any way that it's getting the information from somewhere else?
Based on her description that they keep it in her partner's office and they don't use it much, I kind of doubt that they're at a level of using it for their food. I think that, I mean, I wonder, I'd be interested in knowing if other, if anybody else has had this experience. I'll bet you it can recognize, I'll bet you it has some sort of function where it can tell if it's not used that much. And I bet you it can tell, I bet you it can recognize like picking up sounds of dogs and cats, which some listeners, this is on Facebook, and some listeners are like, that really makes me feel creeped out. It really reminds you that
it's just listening
all the time.
That,
yeah.
I mean, I want it to be able to figure out that I'm talking to it, and I want it to be able to understand my voice. And so the logical extension of that is that I should, be fine with it. I mean, being able to recognize a different animal's voice and know what that is. I mean, that's all part of the same thing, but for some reason that crosses some kind of line. It's like it feels like it's only supposed to know things that I taught it.
Right. Yeah, or like it's like, I don't know, you're protective of your children, right? Like, hey, I can go online, but I want to make sure that, you know, if I find out my child is talking to strangers online, you're going to get like this some sort of maternal or paternal kind of protective feeling. Maybe that's it too. Like, hey, leave my cat out of this. Don't mess with my dogs and cats.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, one other thing. We could talk about it tomorrow. I know who High School Bud is.
Why are you going to tell me that now and not tell me until tomorrow?
Well, it's because
can you tell me offline?
Sure. It's not anyone you know.
Really? That surprises me.
I know. It's a guy that I know, and it makes perfect sense because this guy is super funny. He's actually a writer, and he's a super funny writer. There was moments where I thought maybe High School Bud was just really a guy who loved rollerblading and Sony Discmen. But no, it's a really funny person who was just kind of, you know, spoofing around.
And targeting us, or did he kind of get sucked into the TBTL thing because we talked about him in TBTL and then all the listeners started looping him in? Because when I look at his stuff, like, it's always liked by a bunch of tens, and it just, he seems to be so part of the tens world now.
Well, I think he did, he has listened to TBTL at some point. And I think what happened was I was so besotted with the High School Bud Twitter account. I talked about it so much on the show that I think it picked up a lot of followers who were TBTL listeners.
I see. And then,
so I don't know if that became kind of a self-fulfilling thing.
I'll bet
or
you
not,
did.
But like,
huh.
But yeah, I mean, I can just say the name of the guy. His name is... And he is... I played Little League Baseball with him, funnily enough. Yeah, and he played for... He was a lefty. His dad was the coach. But then he ended up becoming... And really funny, cool, awesome dude. And I mean, did I just ruin High School Bud?
You didn't ruin it for me, but is he okay being doxxed?
Is that doxing?
I think so.
Did I just dox him?
Maybe.
All right. Well, hey, can you just bleep it out?
Yeah.
Can you bleep all of that out?
Not the whole thing, just when you say the name. Some of the descriptive stuff. Okay.
How about this? Will you bleep out his name?
Yeah,
Will you bleep out the name of the baseball teams?
Yes. Okay.
And then bleep out what he does for a job.
Okay. This is going to be a funny
sound.
There'll
be a lot of bleeps.
It's show titles. A lot of bleeps. Could be one show title. That's all I have.
I have an Andrew at rest stays at rest.
That's all we got.
How about your bank account is aboard?
Yes. Oh, I meant to write that down. Yes. Your bank account is aboard is perfect. And so music coming out. Don't forget we have music for your weekend.
I'm so tomorrow, excited for music for your weekend, dude.
I picked mine today,
I have not been this excited. I told you I heard mine in a cheese shop in Vermont, and I did the most embarrassing thing, which is I had to go up and Shazam it. Because I didn't know who, I hadn't heard it before, and I was like, what is this? And I became captivated. And as I talked about on the show the other day, I then sent it to Addie, who had already heard it, because the student is now the master.
High School Bud just tweeted 43 seconds ago. He tweeted exactly as we were talking about him.
What did he say?
Just pounded three sleeves of Girl Scout Thin Mints, wasn't even hungry.
Love that guy. God, I wish I knew who he was.
Yeah, you said his name is Beep, and he used to beep.
And I know him from the Beep. And he works at Beep.
What does he say in Arrested Development? Well, let's hope it doesn't go that far.
All right, why not? While you're getting your music ready, let's see. I'll just dial that up. How about this?
Let's hope it doesn't come to that.
And you might be eating. Let's go. Well, let's hope it doesn't come to that.
Oh God, that show,
man. All right, here's what we're going to go out with, unless you have something you want to go out
with.
This is a way of me taking care of an email at the same time. Do you remember a couple of days ago, I was on some weird conversation about the fine line sometimes between musical homages and simply ripping off artists, and I kind of went into this muddled thing about how back in the 60s, you had a whole bunch of bands that all kind of sounded alike, and we know the big ones now, the Turtles and the Animals and the whoever else kind of had that kind of sound. But I was listening to my Spotify, and I heard some old, you know, song like that came on a while back, and I didn't know who it was, and I kind of liked it, and I thought, oh, I looked him up, and I was like, oh, this is that band that had an 80s song years later, and I got an email from somebody wanting to know, what the hell were you talking about? Well, I kind of got some things wrong, but I will at least tell you what the hell I was trying to talk about. The song that I was thinking of was Radar Love. The band is called Golden Earring, and Radar Love actually came out in the 70s, not the 80s. But before that, this band, Golden Earring, who I think are Dutch, I want to say, had a kind of an earlier kind of 60s and 70s sound. I think their first album came out in 1969 or 1970 or something. And so this is a Song of a Devil's Servant is the one I picked out.
Whoa.
This does not sound like Radar Love to me.
Okay. Well, enjoy, everybody. Have a great rest of your Thursday. And we will be right back here with more Imaginary Radio tomorrow for you. Until then, please remember, no mountain too tall.
And good luck to all.
Beep! Witness me!
Call my name and I'll be there to serve your majesty everywhere. No instruction is too much for me. Execute his order like in a bad dream.
Power out.